So in Luke chapter 9, we just heard that Jesus taught his disciples how to minister by ministering. He sent them out to preach and heal. And like many churches, we use that method to help our youth discover the satisfaction of serving by taking them on mission trips to serve others, as I just did this last week with four kids from our church. A national organization called Group Youth Ministries is one of several national organizations that stages mission trip opportunities. They do this all over the country, and actually some of them are overseas. Now, there are two basic kinds of mission trips. There are service weeks, in which the kids work with existing local organizations like local food pantry, or a day camp, a homeless shelter. They might be leading vacation Bible school in some churches. They might work at some charity's resale store. Those are called service weeks. And the other kind of mission trip are called work camps, where the kids do home repairs for residents needing just a little bit of help to be able to stay in their own homes. They need a little help because of maybe age or poverty. And they'll be doing things like painting, clearing out overgrown landscaping, installing or repairing porches, steps, handrails, drywall, building wheelchair ramps. Every year, Group Youth Ministries organizes dozens of these trips all across the country. In our week, was in Hamilton, Ohio, down near Dayton. Our week brought together 404 middle school and high school youth. Picture that, 404 middle school and high school youth from about two dozen different congregations in 14 states, as far away as Oklahoma and Texas, Virginia, the Carolinas. For them, it was a thrill to come to Ohio. Yeah. There were Lutherans there, United Methodists, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Baptist, Disciples of Christ. And so the organizers group, they divide the church youth groups into work crews and assign them to specific work crews. Eileen Busher and Emma Poole were paired with kids and adult leaders from other churches in one work group. And Libby Poole and Michael Wilson were paired with kids and adult leaders in another work group. As for me, I was the leader of a work crew, and I had five kids, none of them from our church. I had kids from Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. We stayed at a local public school down there, and we ate in the school's cafeteria, which has its advantages and disadvantages, as you're going to hear, because I've invited Eileen and Michael to tell you about it. And in addition, Emma and Libby Poole were on the trip, but they went right from the mission trip right to a family wedding. So they're not here this morning, but Emma wrote something for me to share on behalf of she and her sister. But I think we're going to start, Michael, aren't we starting with you? All right.
Good morning. As I began to prepare to share this eye-opening experience, I had on our mission trip to Hamilton, Ohio. I wanted to begin with what this last week has truly been about. Grit. Defined as a dish of coarsely ground corn kettles boiled with water or milk. As I read this seemingly odd definition, last night I became clouded with confusion. Either I had gone to the wrong camp, or I simply did not understand what I learned last week. After a few seconds, I realized it would have helped to have placed the word spiritual in front of the coarsely ground kernels and form a new word, spiritual grit. Now, defined as the engine that drives perseverance in life, the core strength that helps us overcome obstacles. Most importantly, it is the essential characteristic that sustains our lifelong pursuit of Jesus. During our mission trip, we dove into 5 sections of spiritual grit: courage, forgiveness, trust, surrender, and love. As the week has come to a close, I now see the ways in which we all have demonstrated these 5 characteristics while working as the hands and feet of God. First, it took courage to simply begin this mission trip. I truly was anxious about what lied ahead. It took courage to meet and develop amazing relationships with individuals I barely knew. But most importantly, it took courage to not allow my own fear inside overcome my desire to serve our Lord. At one of our nightly services, upon entering, we received a pencil. After opening in prayer and song, we were asked to think of someone that you have not yet forgiven. Next, we discussed the importance of the almost always challenging decision to forgive. In Romans chapter 12, we read Paul's seemingly counterintuitive message stating, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them." Then we were asked, "If you are ready to forgive the one who went against you and to bless the one who went against you, please snap your pencil and lay it at the cross." During the next period of time, I found myself in prayer and in deep thought. I would have never guessed a pencil could teach me so much about forgiveness. During this last week, the resident I had the pleasure of serving demonstrated truth, the 3rd characteristic of grit, perfectly. Although she had so little, she was willing to give so much. She trusted us with her home, tools, and family, and she did so with open arms. Thomas Hemingway once said, "The best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them." Linda did exactly that. She put faith in complete strangers, and to me, that is what taught the importance of trust. On Thursday, we walked into our service and received a white cloth. We then discussed the importance of surrendering negative energy, thoughts, and actions to Jesus. Simply put, allowing Jesus to take the wheel. Afterwards, we were told, "If you are ready to surrender something to our Lord, lay your cloth at the cross." After a very, very long time of prayer and thinking, I watched 400 kids ready to surrender to Jesus. Young adults just like me, wanting to become a better version of themselves. And lastly, love. For this trait, I wanted to give you an example from camp. One of my crew members sadly stepped straight into a nail on the worksite. Immediately, I saw kids much, much younger than me bow heads and hold hands and begin to pray for that young girl. It was so powerful to see love in action, and especially from kids much younger than me. Throughout this last week, not only did I strengthen, but I grew my spiritual grit. But to be honest, what took the most grit was trying Skyline Chili. It truly was better going in than coming out. This last week has been incredible. While serving others, I learned much more about myself than I ever thought possible. I was able to make new friends who gave me hope that there are kids just like me struggling to not lose who they are in these tough, temptatious teenage years. Finally, I'd like to thank you guys for the encouragement which helped me go on this mission trip. And of course, a special thanks to Eileen, Emma, and Libby for allowing me to love every second of our spiritual journey. Likewise, thank you, Dr. Fancher. We all appreciate your dedication to making us have an amazing trip. Mark Twain hit the nail on the head when writing, "Preachers are always pleasant company when they are off duty." Thank you.
So as I said, Emma and Libby Poole were also on the trip, but they went right to a family wedding, and Emma's written kind of on behalf of she and her sister these words: These words from Emma. The concept of youth mission trips seems both fairly standardized and quite insane. 400-some teenagers piled into a middle school, deprived of sleep, filled with carbs, taught about God, and sent into the community to serve? Before traveling to Hamilton, I had attended a mission trip and was fairly sure I knew what to expect. Awesome new friends, squeaky air mattresses, thought-provoking discussions, carbs by the bucket load, energetic worship services, an hour-long wait to get into the shower, an amazing chance to serve people in need. I didn't, however, expect to find myself perched on a roof covered from head to toe in paint, singing Sweet Caroline with an 80-year-old man and loving every minute of it. I also didn't expect to find myself sitting in a dugout of the school's baseball field every night with Eileen, Michael, Libby, and Pastor John in our dugout devotions. I didn't expect to become such close friends with my four other crew members and the adult advisor. Our trip to Hamilton showed me something I'd never seen so powerfully before, how Christ can use the simple work of our hands to change the lives of others forever. After being split up into a crew of five campers and one adult, we were assigned to a small house owned by a Mr. and Mrs. Owens. Upon arrival, we found piles of old wood and appliances, car repair tools, rusting cars stacked around the back of the house. Gutters hung off the roof, boarded up windows peeked out from the side of the tiny house that was so cluttered you could barely walk through it. Despite the chaos, we were greeted by a beaming Mr. Owens, who promptly showed himself a kind man who loved to talk, but was unable to get out much anymore or do the car repairs he so loved because of health issues and age that confined him mostly to the house where he and his wife live alone. After talking with Mr. Owens, we realized he didn't set much store by God or believe much in God's power to work in our lives. The morning flew by as we got to work, and in afternoon devotions, other campers and I were energetically discussing the gutters and vents we could nail, the handrails we could continue to build, the fence posts we had already replaced. That's when Brian, our adult group leader, stated that he thought our job would be done only when Mr. and Mrs. Owens realized that we were serving them out of love for Jesus. That was hard to grasp. I knew how to replace fence posts. I knew how to paint, to assemble shelves, clean out porches, but I realized we would have to rely on God to work in their hearts. And that's when I found 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57-58. It says, "But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Well, we gave ourselves fully to God's work and set out to show the Mr. and Mrs. Owens God's love by taking care of their needs, attending to both their home and also to their need for company, for companionship. Our crew worked so hard that we finished our week-long job in a few days and were able to be reassigned to help another crew that still had a lot of work left. The knowledge that the work of our hands was directly fulfilling someone's desperate need made every bug bite, every drop of sweat, every sunburn worth it. On our last day at the Owens home, they joined us on the porch for our devotions that followed lunch each day. Something we invited to do every day, but that last day they joined us. We formed a circle and prayed, each person saying, "Jesus, you are," and then filling in with something that Jesus had revealed to them. "Jesus, you are my encouragement. Jesus, you are my friend," etc. With tears in their eyes, both Mr. and Mrs. Owens thanked God for sending us to work in their home. They were thankful beyond expression, and they poured out their appreciation and love to God in prayer. I think God works a great many miracles in our lives if we are only open to seeing them. And although God's given me so many blessings, the opportunity to witness the miracle that occurred in the hearts of Mr. and Mrs. Owens in Hamilton, Ohio, is one of the greatest I've ever received. That's what Emma Poole wrote. Eileen?
Good morning. To be honest, I was really nervous for this mission trip. I hadn't been on a mission trip before this week, so I wasn't exactly sure what to expect. To start things off, I packed all of my things at 11 o'clock the night before. And the next morning, I showed up with way too much stuff. But that's okay, because Michael and I overpacked. Before we left, I think it's safe to say that we were nervous about meeting people. But soon after we arrived, we met a group of kids from Springfield, Illinois, who played cards with us and showed us the ropes. A day or two later, we met two girls from Louisville, Kentucky, Grace and Michaela, who taught us the art of dipping Oreos in peanut butter, which I highly recommend, and Brazilian soda. Our friendships with these people made it so much harder to leave. Aside from our new friends, my favorite part of each day was working. Out of 69 crews, Emma and I were both on crew 41, which is also known as the best crew. Our assignment was to cover some vents, add some handrails, build some extremely frustrating storage shelves, and fix the gutters for the Owens family. They were so kind, despite their hard lives. Luckily, we were able to finish our work for the Owens family in just 2 days. We packed up our tools and headed down the street to help other crews paint the exterior of a giant Victorian house. Our work at this house was so important to me because the city was going to give the man who lived there an eviction notice if his house wasn't painted by July 1st, which is today. So if our mission trip were any later, our friend would not have his house. In other words, our work literally meant that he could stay in his home, which made it so much more meaningful. On the last day, we gave him one of these necklaces, and he was really excited about it. That night, he even came to worship with us, but unfortunately, the Owens family couldn't attend. I will always remember how grateful our residents were that we came and helped them. After a week of hard work, playing cards, getting weird farmer's tans, and eating carbs and chili, it was time to come home. It was hard to say goodbye to all of our new friends, who I will be forever grateful for because of all of the great memories that they brought this week. And it was time to say goodbye to our residents, who I simply will never forget. Thank you all for helping us experience this amazing week.
So I ask you, is there any doubt that mission trips like this are a life-changing and life-forming experience? And that's why it's so important for our church to be able to support and encourage our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors' children to participate in these things. One final note, if you haven't been checking the church's Facebook page, you can go back after this morning, and I posted every single day. I had a little update, a paragraph that kind of talked about something that we did, and a couple of photographs to give you an idea of what that was like. And those are all still on our Facebook page, so you can go back and take a look at those, including the fact that the men at the work camp had to take our showers at a goat barn at the fairgrounds. But that's for you to find out later on. Okay, kids, thank you very much.